podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This podcast is supported by SafeBand. SafeBand is the indigo silicone wristband that lets people know that you or a member of your family has been vaccinated to protect them from COVID-19. And with every SafeBand that's ordered by you or people like you, we donate one to a frontline key worker or vulnerable member of the community. Slowly, life will return to how it once was. Until then, we're determined to get things back to normal for those who've taken the first step. Find out more by clicking the link in the description or visiting safeband.me.
Welcome to the Manchester United Redcast. It's me, Chris Curley, bringing you all the United news so you don't have to get it yourself. And joining me this week, as always, is the Del Boy and Rodney of Podcast Punditry, Mr. Dan Riley and Mr. Ben Paul. Gentlemen, hello.
Hello. I'm not going to ask who's who.
Yeah, I'm not asking either.
Well, in that, just know that I'm basically Uncle Albert in that scenario. It's been, you know what, last week when we talked, it was, we were buoyed. And I don't know about you, but it was a bit of an odd week last week. It felt like the whole world was going crazy and going mad in very different many ways. And we had AC Milan to look forward to on Thursday night, and history repeated itself. And then we had the awkwardness of a Sunday night fixture against West Ham. Ben, what's your take on this week at Old Trafford on the pitch?
Oh, man. Do you know what? I used to love last-minute goals because it used to be us scoring them. But it shatters you when it comes against you. It shatters you. I felt terrible for Hendo because De Gea would have saved that because he's a shop stopper. But you know, it was a blip on an otherwise blemishless set of performances from Hendo. That was a kick in the bollocks, the AC Milan one. But we didn't deserve more. We were flat. And a headline for the West Ham game. Jesus, I thought, you know, credit to United. Because the negativity from West Ham, for a team that are renowned for an attacking flair, was disgraceful. Not happy with that one, but delighted.
Ben was a bit miserable last week. What was your take on it?
I think we'd mentioned. I mean, I know it's a common refrain currently with the amount we've been playing, but the games are. And it's not just us. A lot of the games are sort of smacking of general tiredness that you know, players playing a lot in a shortest period of time. Milan sort of kind of started the game, looked a lot fresher. I don't know whether they've kind of played fewer games because of the fixture list out there might not have been as congested as ours. But they looked fresh. They looked good. I thought I kind of enjoyed the game. I do enjoy these Europa games. It's good to see. It's good to see what these teams are like, you know, these teams that were once, you know, big names are a lot of sort of kind of rebuilding themselves a little bit. I think it's really interesting when you see these teams.
Milan was like missing six players, so were we. But I think that probably lulled us into a bit of a false sense of security. I was really impressed with Milan. I thought they played the better football. They were sharper. They were quicker. Frank Kessie in the first hour kind of dominated the midfield. And United were lackluster. And had to make that change at half-time when we saw Ahmad grace the Old Trafford pitch. And within 4 minutes, he'd flipped the back of his head and scored a bit of a wonder goal.
An unusual goal. I don't think you don't see goals like that very often. It was a real sort of like unique one.
Who was it? Was it that scored that flicking back header? Was it Ollie? No.
Jenico, away at Stoke City in his back header. From a cross, a bit of a wider out cross. And it was about 6 yards out. So it wasn't coming at him. It was coming across and he kind of adjusted and flicked. I'm doing the movement now, podcast viewers, which we can't see. You can't, won't. But I'm giving me head back.
Your Keir Starmer flick is
was that in Makeda's three-game amazing run that he had?
I'm not sure if it was...
Did he get one at Borough as well? Did he get one at Borough? I've kind of got a...
Villa.
Flick. I mean, Phil Jones has obviously done that a lot, but in his own net. What I loved about that goal particularly was Ahmed looked to get in behind straight away, made the out-to-in run, which we see rarely from, I think, Rashford and Martial, or certainly not enough, him and Greenwood. And then Bruno found him perfectly. And it was going to be a perfect 1-0. I think a 1-0 first leg at home scoreline is great to take away with you. I think 1-1 is the worst result possible, frankly. We've always struggled that when we've had a 1-1, by and large, there are exceptions to that rule. And, you know, there was, again, it was game management in the last 10 minutes, dropping too deep. It just felt like it was coming psychologically. You know, Everton is clearly still in their minds, and other games like that where we've conceded goals. And, you know, someone just needed to come out from that corner and go, right, I don't care what's happening, who I'm marking, I'm going to head this ball. Whether it was Bailly, whether it was Maguire, that's what should have happened. And Henderson, if you look at Henderson's clip, he actually takes a little look off the ball, looks away. And he, for that split second, he's kind of lost it, and he's then panicking. And he really probably should have saved it. And of course, the following morning, who's back in Manchester? David De Gea. And pretty much he left Spain that night, I reckon. Got a private jet, right? And gone, I'm back. I'm going back now.
Yeah.
Do you think
it was good to see?
Sorry, Ben, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that the game management you're talking about in the last 10 minutes, it has let us down recently. And that's why I guess Solskjaer didn't make any substitutions in the game yesterday. And it was good to see us see out a game because it was a narrow lead. And it was good to see us just see out that game for the last 10 minutes and go home with a 1-0 victory.
Well, what was your take on last night, Dan, against West Ham?
Well, it was a grind. I mean, Moyes, I know what Ben's saying about it being dull. I think they'd done their homework on us, and that is, if you sit back against us, then you know we will probably struggle to break teams down. I think it was nice to score from a set piece, obviously, and it was interesting that Bruno took over the corner taking responsibilities from Shaw. Not that Shaw's had been poor, but and I think they had a little joke about that afterwards. I think you could see that in the celebrations that Bruno came on and first corner he took. We profited from it, but yeah, it's one of those ones you just got to put it down to a painful 90 minutes of watching, and you're glad you've got the win.
The most fun we had was probably on the WhatsApp group with our Declan Rice ones.
Yeah,
Dana, you missed out on that. Obviously, you were being probably dutiful Mother's Day scenarios, I'm sure.
Yeah, I just couldn't find anything funny for Pilau. That was my I had some Pilau talk idea ruminating.
Ben started off by saying, I think your man Rice is fluffing his audition. AP Aaron Paul came in, say, oh, gone off the boil, run out of steam. And that was kind of like the catalogue for an avalanche of such things through the rest of the first half. Yes, he's had a sticky time of it. He's playing against the grain. He looks fried already. That's my favourite one. Greenwood's making him look like a pudding. I mean, Ben Paul, I mean, I've known you religiously for years being the pun meister, but not much room in this game. It'll be won by a set piece. I mean, that should be illegal. And that, well, I think that's on the new police bill that Priti Patel...
I live on a diet of rice and peas, but I was predicting that the only breakthrough in this game would be through a set piece. And was I right? I thank you.
I think I was slightly surprised because you at West Ham's approach kind of as the game went on. I mean, they came out of their shells a bit, you know, a bit more once they went a goal down. But I think they it's interesting when teams that have been playing very well as they have been in a more attacking fashion change when they come up against, you know, one of the bigger sides. And I think that often that playing deep, it will just lead to what happened yesterday, which is, you know, sooner or later the pressure will count, and it came from an own goal. I thought Greenwood was excellent, actually, all round. I thought he was really lively yesterday.
The more the game went on, the better Greenwood got, I felt, in many ways. I thought his work outside the box was fantastic, and he brought people in. He held the ball up, something we've criticised Martial for a lot. Greenwood and he was very well last night.
He was taking up good positions. There was one I remember, might have been early in the second half, where he took up a good position in the box and Rashford sort of went cut inside and tried to shoot instead of passing to him, which, bearing in mind, he put one on a plate for Marcus in the first half with that typical bit of what they say, don't they? They say you're the best people at providing the crosses or final passes for strikers are strikers, because they know exactly where they want it. And that was a Marcus's reaction said it all on that one. I think Neville called it right. I think he tried to put too much on it when all he needed really was just to make
I actually called it right fractionally before Gary Neville did to my dad, and then Gary Neville said it, and my dad's like, well, you should be there. I go, yes, I should. You're absolutely right, father.
I think what we're highlighting here is that I don't think there are enough people attacking that space in front of the goal. James, heavily criticised all the time, especially on Twitter. He was putting balls, he was beating his man, he had the industry there. I think he's improved a lot. And he was putting balls in where nobody was. And you can say, yeah, you can be critical of him and say there's no point passing to nobody. But I don't think there was enough people attacking that space.
It's true, because that's a criticism we've given. And Ollie's criticised Rashford, Martial, Greenwood before, going, you don't attack the six-yard box. So I think one of the reasons Cavani is probably a bit frustrated is that he is attacking the six-yard box and the balls are not coming in. And, you know, it's like one works for another and not work for the other. I mean, Dan James put on a couple of great balls, as you said, Ben, and no one's getting into that six-yard box for a tap-in, really. And that is part of the problem. We'll come on to the number nine in the second half of this week's podcast. I mean, we were out without six players. For me, last night, it was a case of getting the job done, getting 3 points. I think that really does assure us of top four place now. I think we'll have to drop off a cliff to not get top four. You look at the chasing people, West Ham being one of them, Everton lost, Chelsea drew, Tottenham got beat. You know, those teams competing and looking for a top four place and to challenge Chelsea had a terrible weekend. So in my book, that's kind of like one thing done. And we turn to, you know, what is a pivotal week coming up in the season for United, when the chase for silverware is really on a precipice. We'll discuss that in the second half after these commercial messages.
If you want an e-bike that doesn't look like it's made for the shopping precinct, something that's less Mr. Bean and more Steve McQueen, check out the range of bikes from London-based Cooler King. From dope 250-watt city bikes to Harley Bobber-inspired 750-watt beasts that can tear your face off while leaving your smile intact. Cooler Kings are made in limited numbers, yet highly affordable. Check them out now on the web at cooler.bike or find them on Instagram with hashtag CoolerKingBike. Cooler.bike. E-bikes that are cool AF.
Welcome back to the Manchester United Redcast with me, Chris Curley, and here for the second half, looking ahead to the future this week, it's Dan Riley and Ben Paul. Dan and Ben, we've discussed what happened on the pitch last week, but there were a few big moves off the pitch. United had finally announced they had a new director of football with John Murta, and have promoted Darren Fletcher to technical director, two internal appointments which have long been called for. Good move, bad mood, does it really matter?
Well, I don't know if it's any move at all. You know, they've got fancy titles and all that. We were trying to work out if one of them is actually the director of football, or if the football director, if Johnny Murta is the football director or director of football. I don't know if any of them will get any more control over matters than they had before, any more power. But don't you know John Murta anyway, Chris? Didn't he?
Well,
you were at school with him.
Yes, I was at school with John Murta and his brother Richard, more so, who's in my year. John's a few years older than me. And we come from, you know, an inner city, you know, comprehensive school in Gorton. So from that point of view, I'm going, fair play, fella, because from that school to get to that position, you have worked hard. And my memory of John Murta was on the cross-country runs, which I hated. I could just about beat the asthma kids and those kids faking the asthma. And John was athletic and strong, a couple of years older, and actually came back down the final Cinderpath track to me because I was struggling. And ran with me all the way, encouraging me, shouting me to pick up my knees. Now, I've always remembered that story, which is weird because I've not really had any other contact with him. But that has always stayed with me. So, you know, in his core, he must be a good lad.
He's a good lad.
And I know he's a massive Red. He's a massive Red, which is like, it's just, in that regard, it's like having one of us in there, which is like a dream, right? Being part of it. His brother was a Blue Nose. And his brother used to, you know, frankly, shall we say, the word bully would probably be accurate. And I'm quite happy to say that as we were rival left backs on the school team. And I think the teacher was so so concerned about dropping me about how I'd react, he made me assistant manager on the school team. So I think all that, you know, when you look back at your life, you know, all these things happened very early on and stayed with you. So, yes, I do know him. I don't think we should get too excited about it in terms of a structural thing. This morning, Dan, I read that Ollie's been told he's got 80 million budget. And
well, that's not much, is it?
And Haaland, they've all agreed Haaland is the number one choice this summer.
Well, they're going to need about another 50 then, aren't they? They won't get... I guess they're kind of, you know, this is yet again the, I think sometimes the United hierarchy sort of seem to see the transfer dealings in their own sort of mini reality as opposed to what the real situation is. And obviously for what we need, I mean, 80 million just is, it's not really enough, is it? I mean,
it might get you one top player.
I guess that they are living in that unreality of, oh well, COVID has affected prices and we'll get everyone cheaper now, which just doesn't work. It doesn't work.
It especially doesn't make sense, does it? When again last week it's announced that Avi Glazer selling his shares for 100 million, which he's just going to take out as a cash point. And it just, without losing really any of their share voting rights. So, you know, I think they're treating us like idiots again. They'll leak all these stories about Haaland. Yes, we want Haaland. But really, we shouldn't fall for it, should we, Ben?
Well, it's disappointing when that kind of figure is banded around. But as we talked about last week, you know, there are, if you're looking optimistically, there are a few swaps. There's money in them hills because some players... simply just not cutting it and might command a price. There was talk of Paris Saint-Germain being interested in Pogba again. Always a story. I personally don't want to see Pogba go. I think he's had a brilliant season and shows his, you know, we've missed him. But if the worst came to worst, I think Haaland's, I would love Haaland. I think he's gone to City. That's a different story. But Mbappe is a generational talent as well. And if PSG really want De Gea and if they really want Pogba and those two players want to leave, that's a straight swap from Mbappe.
Well first of all, happy birthday to Paul Pogba. It's his birthday today. He's 28.
Wow. 28, there you go. And that's 10 million off his transfer price already.
Well, which is a key time, isn't it? I mean, 28 is like, okay, it's arguably, you know, your last big contract age. In that you're going to sign for the next 4 or 5 years, you'll be 32, 33.
Yeah. You
know, I think Pogba's the transfer ball game this year. If he stays, better chance of getting Haaland, even though I think there's a very slim chance of getting Haaland because of the Raiola connection. If he goes, well, how much do you get for him? What are we going to do with that money? Is that does Ollie get all of that money to spend on top of the 80?
I guess the thing about Pogba is, and like you say, Ben, I don't necessarily want him to go. However, I would caveat that with if the 80 million is aside from what may come from transfers, then I think you'd have to probably have a good hard think about whether or not Pogba is sold. Van der Beek takes his position in the team, and we spend the money from Pogba on a striker, be that Haaland or be that possibly Calvert-Lewin we've discussed in the past, you know, and maybe then there's a bit of change for another player. Because it may be that you know, although Pogba has been very good this season, he has been out for a large amount of the season, and we do have Van der Beek. So you have to ask whether or not if Pogba is the only way of generating enough money, because we do need more than one player. We know that. Everyone knows that. So if he's the sacrifice in order to get those funds in, then I think we have to have a serious think about that, because he is, if you think about it, him to Paris seems to be really the only transfer that would get a lot of money. And as you say, Chris, at 28, it's probably now or never in terms of getting a big fee for him. I don't want him to go, but I do think that if they're saying 80 mil is all they've got, they're going to have to. My worry would be they sell him and keep the money anyway. And only,
I mean, like, keep him. You're going to improve his contracts, 350k a week. Haaland will want the same because Raiola's his same agent. I think that's the only way of getting Haaland. If Pogba stays, he gets a new contract, and Raiola goes to Haaland. Listen, Paul's staying. You and him going to be kings. They're going to make a move for it. We're going to do this for 3 years. Then we'll go to Real Madrid, right? And then we might get our money back on Haaland. That is a scenario. The other things that are scenarios about the future of De Gea, Lingard, Martial, Dalot, Daniel James even, who are the players that you can build up that pot of 80 million plus to get somewhere near 150, 170 million to make all the three signings we need this year. Three probably. So I think it's an interesting game we all playing and a pub discussion that we can all discuss. But Ben, based on the last few summers and the Glazers' behaviour, are you expecting it to be that busy as we're all talking about? Because I'm not.
Do you know what? There's the feel from the club, and we talked about it earlier, that with the new appointments, there seems to be a much more directness about the press releases and the interface with the public. And I think this is the time for action. I feel like the step up has been made with you know, Johnny Murtagh and Darren Fletcher. But it's about what value there is out there. And I've been casting my eye again, you know, this week. And I think there's a lot of talk of Pau Torres, which we've talked about last season as well. He has got a release clause of about 40 million. He's a left footer, 6'4". He's dead young. I think he's 23, 24. He's the kind of player that we can bring in relatively cheaply and fund that with sales. So that's the classy centre half. I think, having seen Dalot play midweek, I don't see why we need to spend big money on a backup to Wan-Bissaka when Dalot could be the backup for, you know, for the right.
Dalot, Ollie's made his position clear on Dalot. He just doesn't rate him. He's had opportunities. He does look, for me, weak physically, defensively and offensively. I think he was okay on Thursday. For me, he wasn't pulling up any trees. I don't know. And Italian football is much slower and slower paced than English football. I'm not convinced. You know, if you get 15, if you get your money back for Dalot, I'd take it now.
I mean, in terms of our priorities and I mean, where this money gets spent, is not Wan-Bissaka strikes me as the sort of player who does not miss a lot of games. He's not injured a lot. So I just, for me, it's like, just have Williams as the backup. Why spend money on a position that you're never going to really... Wan-Bissaka's going to be a mainstay. So
why can't Tuanzebe cover games there?
We discussed this when we discussed the England squad, Chris, a few weeks back, you know, about that kind of having players that can fit, that can cover a number of positions. That, for me, is how your modern squad has to work, especially when you want to spend on big
players. Well, I think we should be able to bring through our own right backs, you know, within the club. I think we should be doing that. But that's one of the list of targets is apparently a right back.
I know, it's a waste of money. We agree there's a waste of money when we've got the people at the club, which means that whole pot plus sales should go on a centre forward. We've got coverage in all those positions. If we can pick up a great centre half, left footed centre half for 40 odd million, which we can cover for sales, the rest of the money should go to a centre half, a world class.
My second, in terms of priority list, after a centre forward, my second choice is a central midfield player. Because one of the things we've struggled with, and when we have a lot of the ball, especially if Pogba's not playing, is someone who can pass the ball quickly through the midfield. Fred and McTominay can't do it consistently enough or with the ability enough. That's when Bruno's going to get annoyed, when the ball's not coming to him quick enough.
Is that not Donny, Chris?
Is that not who?
Is that not Donny? I don't know, maybe, but he's not
fancying him, Dan, is he?
It slightly baffles me, the Van der Beek thing.
I feel like it's not a signing that Ollie's signed off.
I think this is what I said. I said this on the WhatsApp group earlier on, that it just feels like he was bought over his head.
Well, if you play a three in midfield, right? We play a two and a one. So we play two sitters and a one. If you played one sitter with two, Donny makes sense, right? Mm. As one of those right or left-footed two ahead of the one, that if you can visualise that. But we don't play that way. And if the other person's going to be Bruno in that 2-1, is that a little bit lightweight? Maybe Ollie might think that. So that is a curious, the whole Donny van der Beek thing. It's very, very curious. But they might look for value elsewhere and try and bring people on. I mean, I think what a lot of clubs have realised, particularly the success of Eze at Crystal Palace, Ollie Watkins at Aston Villa, is the Championship can provide. Madison came from the Championship, you know, obviously Vardy did before, but there's some value in the Championship. And it might be that I think Premier League clubs will look there this summer, but United might look there. Darren Fletcher is apparently very keen on the 19-year-old Stoke centre-back, Nathan Collins. And there might be room for signings looking at the Championship.
Did Fletcher have experience of playing alongside him?
I think he was there when he's in the youth
team. Yeah, like with saw him around the training ground.
That kid's going to be good.
Well, this is, I think that's just, we didn't really talk about Fletcher much, but I think that's part of obviously Fletcher's role. I think he's got a good knowledge of the game. He's obviously someone who's a bit of a networker, knows what's going on at the academies around the country. And hopefully that's what he's going to be able to bring, is that bit of whereas Ollie's sole job is to concentrate on first team affairs, Darren can take a bit of a wider look at recruitment, because we just haven't had anyone who's been responsible for recruitment, really, who knows football.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, Dan James was a signing from Swansea that was like, okay, 15 million quid, let's give it a go. He's done okay. They've been reluctant to release him, whether he's got the actual quality we need, but I think Dan James can do 20 games a season for us and do a good job in that regard. Question of whether that's the standard we should be aiming for is another matter. I mean, value and transfers we're going to be talking about until August the 31st, but I think this week, Ben, is a big week in how confident and who's going to be allowed to make those transfers, because it really is a week when silverware could come or it could go. Thursday, we're away to AC Milan, and it's FA Cup with Leicester away on Sunday. Ollie did say last night after the game that he expects Martial, Cavani, De Gea, all to be back for Thursday in Milan. And that's got to be a good boost going into that game, right?
Yeah, he said Pogba's going to be on the bench as well. I would hope so, because I think we've got to go there with an attacking flair. And I think it means pairing up McTominay with a ball player. And if Donny is fit, I know, do you know what? I'd start with him, at least bring him on as a sub. If Pogba's close to fitness, I would have him involved. But you just need someone like that sitting alongside McTominay in the midfield there.
What, you'd do that in Milan, would you?
Yeah, I would. You've got to go for it. I also think Rashford looks knackered. He looks injured. And I would even consider putting a fresh Martial on the left. If Cavani's fit, brilliant. If not, stick Greenwood up front, because he looked really sharp. I would have Ahmad, on the bench, ready to bring on the right, on the right hand side. I think we need fresh feet. We are looking knackered. It's another big game. And I think you've got to go for it. And I think that would be, that would mean, you know, ball players. And it's the kind of players. And one thing we didn't address was how brilliantly City can break down a team that sits deep. City could have broken down West Ham yesterday. And I think it's because we're lacking the quality of those kind of players that can break down a solid defence. And, you know, Bruno is one of those players and Pogba is one of those players. I don't think we can go there with two holding midfielders and play it cautiously. I think we need the kind of the skillful players that are going to break apart a well-oiled and well-drilled Milan defence.
I don't know how he's going to go with the team selection. I think what you might find is that we get two very strong teams because we're going into the international break. So it's a bit like, let's just go for it because we've got these two games now. Then they're going off with their respective teams internationally. So I think we're going to, and these are key games, let's not forget, because we can't win the league. Well, we won't win the league, but we can win either of these two cups. And for me, slightly more importantly, is the FA Cup, because obviously Manchester City are still in with a shout of the quadruple, which came up on...
Sacrifice Thursday for Sunday?
Yeah, definitely.
Really? It's interesting. That's tough.
I'd always rather win the FA Cup, Chris, than the
I would. I mean, I think it's Ben's point of going gung-ho, I think, that makes me nervous, because I think Fred and McTominay as a screener works, especially away from home. San Siro, intimidating place. Also, I think it's going to be a counter-attacking game that will suit us. We don't have to win the game in the first 20 minutes. We're just going to make sure we're still in it, really. And notoriously in the San Siro, we've suffered there if we've gone too early, too soon. For me, I would play two screeners in Fred and McTominay, and I would just get some freshness and some legs up front. So Cavani would come back in at centre-forward because he would hold the ball up and have two fast people either side of him to break them down. And then as the game evolves, I'd bring Pogba on if he's fit. Pogba notoriously, Ben, usually remember, needs a bit of time to get back his fitness. So starting with him, I think that's a massive risk on Thursday.
I would say if either of them are fit, I would start with them. But I don't know if they are fit. But they definitely have a big presence on the game. We've scored four goals in the last six games. It's possibly because Cavani's not been up there. But it was also because we're not breaking through. And we don't have the players that are that can break down those well-drilled defences.
Hey, we've got Luke Shaw. We've got Luke Shaw.
He's our main attacking threat.
I did love that Luke Shaw chant that we found this week.
What? Luke Shaw makes you feel like loving you.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? I want to be bounced up and down to that under a stand somewhere.
I prefer Dan.
Fantastic chant.
I like the one Dan discovered.
What was that one, Dan?
Oh, it was just that I'd always wanted someone in the UK to sign Mario Götze so that the Chaz and Dave classic Götze could be reworked. But younger listeners, head to YouTube for what is probably one of my favourite Cockney sing-along piano. Sorry, yeah. Joanna songs going.
That would be the sideboard song. The James is Oh Zidane. I'm surprised that never took off.
Well, me and my mate Lee came up with him about Dirk Kite. He's ginger, not shite. That kind of thing.
Tears
song.
Was that Tears for Fears?
Tears for Fears, yeah.
Another one for the younger listeners.
I mean, yeah, younger listeners should really do a playlist on Spotify based on all these songs. You'll have a great time.
Guys, I don't think we have any listeners. I don't want to...
Not younger ones. Definitely not younger ones. AC Milan, then, on Thursday night. Let's get into predictions. We need one goal and a clean sheet to go through, or scoring twice. I think it's going to be a tough night because Zlatan is trying his best to come back. Dan, what say you on Thursday?
It's been a while. It's been a while, it seems, since we were involved in a penalty shootout. And I feel there's one coming up. And do you know what? In the Europa League, I don't mind them because it doesn't feel as sort of like it doesn't feel as big as the Champions League where I hate them. I fancy it. Hendo to star in the shootout.
Ben and I watched the 2008 Champions League final penalty shootout together, didn't we, Ben?
Yeah, we did. Well, I mean, didn't you? There was an incident involving some nuts.
Our nuts went everywhere, and I was still finding nuts months later. All over the flat, these big, huge bowl of dry roasted nuts, just all over the rented property in Islington.
You're letting everybody know how we really lived the life, haven't we?
Crazy life. I tell you what,
we know what we're doing. Oof.
You didn't come out with the celebrations with me. That was a different kind of night afterwards. I didn't get back in till 6. But that I can't really broadcast those stories. Do you think it's gonna be a penalty shootout on Thursday night, Ben?
Well, it'd be interesting if it was. No, I mean it's got as much chance of that as anything else. The way we're playing, against these well-drilled defenses, I just see another very slow game. I'd love it.
I think it'll be similar to City. I think the way that we play and attack, I think it'll be very similar to that. I think like Dan though, I think it might go on a while. I think it could go. It might go as far as penalties, but I'll put it this way: I'd be nervous about putting money on us. To go through, I think it'd be tough based on how well Milan played last week, quite frankly, and we didn't. I think that's going to be tough. I think they're a little bit of underestimated them. And depending on the mood, we'll obviously, of Thursday night, will impact Sunday against Leicester City away in the FA Cup on Sunday. Leicester hanging on to their form just about, despite losing people like Harvey Barnes recently, who's been a big attacking threat for them, but they won 5-0 yesterday. They're third. Just behind us. It's a team that is evolving, looking for silverware themselves. How do you think Sunday's going to go, Ben, against Leicester?
Oh, we'll win that one. No doubt about that. Now we're talking. And I think Greenwood and Cavani will rinse that Wesley Fofana.
Oh, God. Yeah. Cue man of the match performance for him now.
You know, I call him every time.
Maybe we can rely on a Johnny Evans on goal to help us out.
Do you know what the headlines against about the West Ham game that, you know, especially from The Guardian, that fucking rag, talks about, you know, an own goal saw United through. It's like, no, a dogmatic performance saw United through.
I don't read any of that nonsense.
Yeah.
I think Leicester will be a tough. It'll be a hard game. It'll be, you know, they're a good side. I watched their highlights yesterday. I mean, Sheffield United contributed greatly to their own downfall in that 5-0. But you know, there's no doubt about it. When Jamie Vardy, whatever you want, I mean, that guy is still got it. And he's kind of got a little bit of a thing with us. We've had a few incidents where he's got one over on us. I think he scored that record goal, you know, that came against us, if I remember. So you can never be too complacent when he's playing. Tough one to call. I think it should hopefully be an entertaining game.
Well, I'm getting a sense we're a little bit more concerned with Thursday getting through, but we're confident about Sunday. It's a big week ahead. This is what we've worked and talked about and watched also very much over the last few months to get to these moments. Ollie has definitely shown progress with last year's team, you know, in terms of he's been the best manager we've had, you know, since Ferguson left. His record says that. You think about David Moyes. David Moyes, you know, still has only 7 wins at Old Trafford in his whole career. Including as United manager.
It's
truth.
It's what you're saying there, Chris, is interesting because I think I mentioned earlier that we've got the break coming up. So I think from a psychological perspective, winning these two games and then kind of getting the players getting their heads away from the 2 week, you know, the double week in, week out of United, coming back, it's going to be a little bit warmer you know, shirt sleeves are on. It psychologically, you know, we'd be in the semi of the FA Cup and the quarters, is that right, of the,
that's
of
right,
the Europa League.
That's right.
It's going to be a real, like, and it's like, the end is in sight of the season. So I think it's two, if we get through these two games, it's going to be a real, you know, really exciting end to the season.
I think that's what we're saying. We need one final push this week just to give us the end of the season momentum that I think that the players deserve and we deserve as fans to watch, to get a bit of silverware. Because I think we all want Ollie to succeed. You know, I think a lot of us understand the limitations he's been placed under. But he's exceeded expectations and we deserve more credit than he gets, I think. He's more than a PE teacher. Let's watch and just get behind the boys this week. Ben, Dan, as always, a wonderful pleasure. a lovely way to spend this short period of time in our lives together, talking with you two, all things Man United. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Chris, for hosting this show. Saves us doing it.
Well, that's an endorsement if ever I've heard one. Let's enjoy the games this week. And remember, this is the Man United Redcast. Come on, you Reds.
This is a Playback Media production. Get all the associated links for this podcast at unitedredcast.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.